We started last week. We started a series, our New Year's kind of series, called Identity Theft, and we talked about I Am Loved last week. And one of the things, actually, I got to tell you, you know, we prayed at the end, and I know that I kind of prayed for you, and I prayed for me, that we would experience God's love in a really profound way. And I want to tell you, all week I did. It was just an amazing thing. I remember. I didn't even realize it till probably halfway through the week. I was lying in bed, and I kind of felt like my heart was like ready to explode. And I don't know why. I just felt this profound sense of love, and then it clicked in my head. I thought, oh yeah, I prayed about that this week, and just God really showed Himself in such a faithful way. So I am excited. I'm excited today. Today, Owen and I are kind of doing this in a little bit of a team. Owen's going to be speaking this morning, and so he's speaking on the subject of I am forgiven. Next week, I'm going to share on I'm a new creation, and then a week after, Owen's going to share on I am an ambassador. And so I'm just excited to hear what God has placed on Owen's heart this morning, and I'm grateful to be able to be here, that he's not just speaking when I'm gone somewhere, but that he's here to share this morning, and I get to be here. So I'm just so grateful that you're here, Owen, to come and to share and bring what God's laid on your heart for us this morning as a church. So welcome, Pastor Owen. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Marcel. He's a lot of fun to hang out with. I kid you not. And it keeps me younger, I think. This was a good idea. He had this wild idea. He said, why don't we just team teach? And it seemed, you know, remember I kind of fought that, didn't I? And then finally we said, yeah, that wouldn't that be a good idea? And it has been, and I hope it will be. And I was thinking of my own salvation. I remember when I got saved. I was a teenager, just young. And I'm sure when that night when I bowed my heart to the Lord, I am sure no one in the whole world would have known anything was going on. Just would have been going, people driving by. I'm sure people, I think we called us the Scott kids, my sister and I. And we were the Scott kids. It's too bad about his dad. That'd be the conversations. But something had gone off in my heart that I had never, ever recovered. Never recovered. The most wonderful thing in the world to know the Lord. And it's gone on year after year after year after year after year of getting to know the Lord, the one who put his hand on my life because I came to believe. So today, I want to talk about this whole area of forgiveness, because I was forgiven from all the sins I'd ever done, past, present, or future, and started a whole new life. And so today, this theme, I'm going to read from Romans chapter 5, verse 19 and verse 20. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's disobedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came into increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Wow. Lord, make this real to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I could have called this several things. I called it I'm forgiven. I could have called it accepted at our worst. I thought of calling it at the cross where we find out who we are. And I think if you can find one more idea of who you are, that would be an advancement. So, because of our narcissism, we feel that God has it kind of easy. He doesn't have any problem, with saving us and forgiving us. He doesn't have any problem with that. But the point of it is, we think it's His job. God's got a job. His job is to forgive me. I'm to sin, and that's my job. But that's not how it. But that's His job, right? That's how most people in the culture would think that's what it was. There's a God. he saves us, and then we start all over again with that process. Well, the truth of the matter is, we're in a state of rebellion. That's the truth. And we actually pretend that we're in charge and that it depends on us just to keep on the process going. So we're in a state of rebellion against God, and actually we pretend. And we all claim the right to be to ourselves, the captain of your own sand ending. It's just, there it is, you have it. You say, well, now I belong to the Lord, it's all over. We claim that. Christ on the cross means something, though. That we have a spiritual illness. I had a spiritual illness that night, until that night in that little town. Spiritual illness. We came into this world with DNA, little pink earth suits, 22 and a half inches long. And with a spiritual illness, we're DOA. Dead, alive mentally, alive physically, but dead spiritually. And we have a sickness. We have a sin sickness. We can't heal ourselves. We can't cure ourselves. But there's a sad sickness where it's become a sin. Sin has come into our hearts and our lives, and we have to be dealt with by the Lord. And you've experienced it. I've experienced that. It was not simply due to lose 5 pounds. And it won't just do to start jogging. Say, did I solve the problem? I took up jogging. Well, maybe nothing wrong with taking up jogging, but it won't change you. It won't cure you. The Bible's blunt diagnosis is that we are in revolt. Sinners in rebellion. All of us, sinners in rebellion. Not just a self-improvement program. We need to be told that we are rebels. I was a rebel, and you are no doubt a rebel at one point too. And we're rebels, we must lay down our arms. Some would say, well, that might be true in some case, but my case is an exception. I'm actually quite a cultured person, and I'm innocent. Maybe other people have caused some problems, but not myself. I'm a very nice person. And here's the great line, the great, great line that we all use is, I'm not so bad. I'm not so bad. What have I done? I've never killed anybody, never hurt anybody. I'm all right. I'm all right. There are all people, yes, they're real sinners, but not myself, not in this case. I'm the exception. And I can imagine how the Lord smiles at that. I'm not so bad. Well, that night, even though I was just a really young believer, I knew that I was not saved until that moment. And I knew that my sister was. We both pretty well gave our hearts to the Lord about the same time. Both of us just, boom, going into eternity, now saved. And I remember that night when we were talking and praying together, and our parents were very worried. They were very, very worried that we were getting into something that we shouldn't get into. And yet it was one of the best things happened in all of our lives. And those two little kids, Scott kids, they experienced the life of Jesus. Wow, so it's still real to this day. See, the road to recovery begins with admitting that I am powerless to change. Powerless to change. I am a sinner. Boy, we don't like it. You can talk about Jesus and his love and how nice and neat he is, but the minute you bring that up and say, I am a sinner, they get very upset, very angry, actually. The cross shows the possibility that something could be different. And even that night, as I went to several meetings, and as I heard about what the gospel was about, I knew in my heart that I could not change myself, that I was a sinner. And so the cross, as we look at the cross, we see that something, it's there for a purpose. And they have this possibility of forgiveness. You're not so sure about it entirely. It might not be, but it seems like it would be an answer. And I remember reading, they gave me a little red Bible. Did you get one of those little red Bibles? A Gideon Bible. A Gideon Bible, right? And so I took that home, and I cherished that. It was very precious to me. And so that was one more possibility until finally Sammy Sherard, he's gone to heaven now. But I knew that he has, if anybody here tonight who would like to turn their life over, new management to the Lord, you could come tonight. As a matter of fact, he said, I encourage you to come. And I know, and then he goes, I need you, you need to come more than anything else. You are a sinner in need of salvation. I was 14. How much damage could I do? That's not the amount ever, is it? It's not the amount at all. It's what has happened. I'm a sinner, and I am a wretch. I am a wretch. I fell in love with myself at an early age, and I managed to retain the relationship ever since. My narcissism knows no ends. I am very much in love with myself. I'm a wretch, and I recognize that, and thus I'm able to be changed. Remorse and guilt, and God tell me that it's worse than I think. I say, well, you know, I'm a bit of a wretch. Well, it's way worse than that. You are in revolt against the God of the universe, and you need to come in repentance. Wow. But the cross demonstrates the deepest level of acceptance. So it doesn't matter, and hear me carefully on this, it doesn't matter how low you go. You can go as deep as you want. You will not offend God because he's already dealt with your sin and my sin. It's the most wonderful thing in the whole world. The deepest level of acceptance. See, well, my life was a life of corruption. Yes, yes. And I was often doing this and this. Yes, we understand. Get on with it. Well, this has happened, that happened, that's fine. I used to curse and swear a lot and drink a lot and do this and do that. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Anything else you want to tell the Lord? Because the wonderfulness of it is, it doesn't matter what level. God has already gone beyond that for you, for me. It doesn't matter. It's the sin problem has been dealt with. No sense trying to worry about that. That's not the greater issue is that you can go deep as you want into badness and sadness, and the cross shows us our corruption. But in the same breath, he tells us that the price has been paid. How marvelous is that? That here he is showing this corruption. Oh, and this is what you did, and this is, here's all of your things of your life. Anything you'd like to say to it? Lord, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say because I can't put it together. I can't be perfect like you are. I'm stuck, Lord. I come to you. Help me. I cannot do it myself. And so it doesn't matter how deep you go. The Lord has already gone beyond that. And he tells us, that, of course, that the price has been paid. And I say, how amazing. The forgiveness. that night, he forgave me all of my sins, past, present, and future. All the sins that I will never be judged again on, that they've already been judged at Calvary's cross. And so I come simply with the fact that I can come. God's mercy is more powerful than any sin. In Colossians chapter 1, talks about that, verse 11, that in our sin, and we turn to Christ, and we discover a wonderful forgiveness is available there that we can simply come to and say, hello, my name is Owen, and I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I can't help myself. I tried, and I know that if it's up to me, it's not ever going to happen. I am never going to be acceptable. And the Lord says, it's paid for, and it's so wonderful. He said, only one thing. You must come to his son. You must come to God's son. Doesn't matter your sin level. Doesn't matter how many times you have fallen. You can fall as many times as you want. The cross is a bit greater than that. You can come just as you are, just exactly as you are. and you turn to Christ, and there, there's the power. There's the power. The cross tells us that the price has been paid. Indeed, it has been paid. And so here is, as I come, I don't come as somebody who's got it together, right? You don't come as someone who's got it together. You come as someone who hasn't got it together and never will get it together. You spend your life trying to be religious, but what we need is Christ. We simply come to him and say, I'm done. I can't make it. I can't keep up with the others, all those people. And they're good people and kind people, but I can't be that. Our cross, the cross sent Jesus. He sacrificed his son. God takes our sinfulness unto himself, and he becomes sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in Christ. It's made settled for us. He sacrificed his son to do whatever it takes. To set us free. He was prepared to do that. He sends his son to the cross, and then what will it take to save you? What will it take? It doesn't matter, but whatever it takes to save you, to get you born again and filled with the Spirit and on your way to heaven, what will it take? Well, the Lord he worked that all out. And you don't need to worry about that. But he'll make sure. He'll provide all that's necessary. He literally takes our place on the cross. That's the joy of it and the wonder of it. God did not start loving us after. He loved us before. He didn't wait to see how well we would do. Jesus went to the cross. God's love was there for us. And God's love sent him there. Sent him there to the cross. And so we discover. And the marvel of it, I'm still growing in my salvation. I trust you're still growing in your salvation. My understanding of it, it's unbelievable, all you learn. But we deserved punishment, and we ended up with mercy. How great, how wonderful, how superb that is. We were sinners who didn't have anything going for us. We deserved punishment, and we ended up with mercy. Mercy there was great. I'm not going to sing us. And grace was free, paid upon, multiplied to me at Calvary. There our guilty soul found victory. There we find at Calvary. At Calvary, that's what the hymn said, at Calvary. See, the cross allows us to admit things that you never could before. We are able to show our guilt. We can bring our guilt, all the things that I might be guilty of and things that I don't even know about. I can come, and I come with a heart that's hopefully humbled and broken, and it's powerful. The cross allows us that. You can simply come and say, I'm a sinner. Is there anything for me? Yes, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness, yes. Come. That's all you have to do is come. The cross allows you to admit your guilt and thus experience the full grace and mercy of God's love. All the things have been set up in place. It's all good to go. To accept forgiveness. Yeah, but in fact, you know, to accept forgiveness is the final blow to our pride. It's the final thing to say, because the Lord says, will you accept my forgiveness? Let me get back to you on that, can I? I don't know, really know if it's that much of a thing. I'm kind of looking after that, okay? And the Lord waits for us. He waits for us and waits for us. To us to accept this gift of eternal life. It's the final blow to our pride. Oh, and will you come and will you bow before me and will you make Jesus your Lord and Savior? And here we are thinking about it. Not sure. Not sure. Are you out of your mind? This is the best thing that you're ever going to hear. That no matter how much you have sinned, there is a Savior who has done greater things than that to guarantee my salvation, guarantee your salvation. It's the final blow to our pride that we won't bow our knee. We'll want to go his way and not our way. We want to go our way and not his way. Wow. See, the humiliation, that's why. Acknowledging things. Not acknowledging our bankruptcy. To come and say, here I am. I am so badly in need of forgiveness. I'm so badly in need. Nothing could be greater than my need. I am a sinner. And if I was to die tonight, I would not go to heaven. I would be cast into outer darkness. That's where sinners go. And with that in mind, oh, you think of that. Say, tell me it isn't so. Well, that night, the 14-year-old kid bowed his knee because I knew that if I reject the only plan of salvation is that Jesus is hanging on a cross. If I reject that, I won't be able to go to heaven. And yet there is a gift already. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change anything except that, here, I now turn my life over to you, Jesus. I turn it over to you. And I share, and I announce that I'm coming home. Sinner is coming home. Well, you don't hear that very often. It's a thing you don't hear hardly ever. All of these things, for example, someone else to pay the price. You know, we say, don't worry. The Lord would say, I've got this. No, I think it's the least I could do is help out a little bit. I'd like to help you out, Lord. And we say, no, you're bankrupt. You have nothing to share. No, I'd like to help if I might. I'd like to maybe start going to Bible studies. And no, it's not a requirement of Bible study. Someone else has come to pay the price. And here we are together, and that's why we've come to encourage one another, to, first of all, to make sure that everybody knows Christ as Lord and Savior. That's an agonizing call. Oh, my goodness. If I say, God doesn't have plan B. He only has plan A. And if you reject plan A, there's no other plans. That's why when we present, it's such a serious thing, the gospel message. As we are able to say, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. That's who I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's my identity. Sinner saved by grace. And he waits for everyone else to come. There's others, maybe even here today. There could be somebody here today. You have not come to, by the way of Christ. You are trying to be religious. There's many people, many, many people. Over the years, I've seen hundreds of, oh, maybe thousands of people. Thousands of people where we gave an invitation to say, will you come to the Lord? You don't have to do it. It's all prepared. It's the salvation. It's all the salvation you need is ready. Now, will you come? Will you come to the Savior? Boy, there's that moment. You know, the devil's screeching and the demons are screeching. There's a howling of evil in the universe. No, don't. I can remember there were several nights that I went to these meetings that, at the church that where I got saved. And there was such a battle. I feel like my heels were dug in. I knew I needed to go to the front. Well, I don't know why I thought the front. There's nothing in the Bible necessarily about that. But I knew that I needed to go forward. And there was the screeching of, don't go. Your friends are not going to be impressed with this. This is not cool. Whatever you do, don't go forward. Because you'll lose everybody. Nobody will want to be around you. And say, no. So you're right. No, like, get a hold of yourself. And you shouldn't be. Don't fall for that. You're right. That's good. Next night I went again. And I'm sitting there. The voice has started up again. And how many know what I mean? What a struggle that was to get to the cross. It's just such an unbelievable struggle. And all you can do is say, Lord, finally, I couldn't take it. I said, okay, that, if I lose all my friends, that's all it is. But I said, I have to come. And boy, I tell you, I funny how you remember it, right? I cried all the way to the front of the church. And I said, I'm thinking, what a sinner I am. Oh, people in the community would have laughed about it. How old is he, 14? How much of a sinner could he have been? I always tease Val, years I've spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. How old were you, 4? But it, the battle to give up control, the power to walk forward and say, Lord, here I am, and I thank you. If I've got this right, I am forgiven. Mm-hmm. You are. Through no, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There's a gift for you. All the things you've ever done wrong are now forgiven, and they never will be brought up again. Ever. They never, ever will come up. You never, even on the final day, they won't be brought up. It's already been dealt with at the cross. It's the most remarkable thing. So great a salvation. Oh, so great a salvation. Could it be any better? Could it be any sweeter? Could it be any kinder? Could it be ever nicer? Could it ever be more thorough? That he's willing to take me as I am, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. He was here for me. Never, ever, in all these years, has he ever asked me to do anything other than believe. Other than believe. Owen, you must believe, or the deal's off. You must believe. You must come fully. You cannot reject this. You can't just take part of it. Will you come? And so we stumble our way, knowing that if you're really honest with yourself, you're guilty as guilty can be. And I'm a wretch. And again, as the Lord said, yeah, it's worse than you think. Worse than you think. You're going to come to me, to believe on me. That's the only thing. The only prayer. There's one prerequisite. Here it is. Have you come to Jesus? He's the ticket giver. He's the one that forgives. And if that is the case, then he writes us our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You just get better and better, doesn't it? Last night as I was preparing my heart, I was just praying over some things. And I thought, you know, it's kind of funny, kind of oddity. I wonder, too bad salvation couldn't be packaged better. The blood, all that thing, it seems kind of messy and kind of difficult. What am I talking about? It's the Lord's salvation. As Lauren Marshall at the Bible school, Richard knows them. I remember hearing him preach several times, and he would say, so great salvation. And he'd go, so great salvation. That's right. So great is salvation. And as people come. And so when we are praying as a church, praying for people, we pray that God will touch their hearts so that they will see their need of coming to Christ. I don't know what the average person thinks, but to be forgiven. You can't be forgiven until you surrender your life. And so that's where the tires screech. People don't want to do that. They don't mind talking about God, but they don't want to talk about salvation through Jesus. They want to they change the subject. And I'm talking about 50 years of this, of observing. People don't like, you know, actually, people don't really like Jesus. It's my observing. Well, they like the Jesus of the Bible, the one that they can make up, but the one that says, will you come now, and will you give yourself to my son? And you'd think people would be up and out and down the aisle. Wouldn't you think that? I would think that. Well, they don't. They actually hate Jesus. Because he alone holds the key. How many know what I'm talking about? You go to a wedding, go to any place, go to a funeral, and you find out that there's people in rebellion with their weapons clutched in their hand. announcing that they are not sinners, they are not guilty. That's the whole thing. We are guilty. And the minute we deal with it and say, I'm a sinner and I'm guilty. Yes, yes, you are. Now will you come to give your life, your heart to the Savior? Will you come? Not quite sure. I'm doing not too bad a job. I'm not such a bad guy as you make me out to be. I mean, I never did this or never did that. What's the big deal? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And that's why when we pray that the Lord will touch hearts, that they will see their need, that they must accept Christ. They must accept Christ. That's the only prerequisite, but it's such a simple one, such an easy one. It's not hard. It's not, you say, well, now climb three mountains and do this and this and this and this. No. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Yes. Is it your intention to follow him? Yes. Will you give your heart to him? No. 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 Well, who could turn this down? Free salvation. It is free. There's no, the other shoe doesn't drop. I think of my life or your life, all these years, it's never dropped. I've dropped, but not him. Not failed. I found him to be so amazingly wonderful that you need to see a psychiatrist maybe. I don't know. The fact is that you have not found it necessary to come. This salvation plan, the day will come, the door is going to close. The door is about to close. The day of salvation is ending. It's ending as a new era comes in, a new dispensation comes in. It'd be a different plan, a different idea God's got. I'm not talking about that topic today, but the clock will tick down. We don't have forever to decide that this is the day of salvation. It is today. Today, now is the day of salvation. Not down the road, not tomorrow, not the next day. Today is the day of salvation. Is it not? Have I told the truth? It's about to close. And I want to be in the ark. To be in the ark. And the Lord closes the door. Clunk. Oh, man. You talk about time. And people will be, I've decided now. I think I'm okay now. No, it's too late. Salvation, it's too late. Imagine. Oh, man. It's disturbing. I find it disturbing. Matter of fact, there's lots of things in the Bible that I wish weren't there. If I had a pair of scissors, you know, you cut out some of the parts, say, that's a little awkward, you know, cut that part out. And, there's more could be said about that, but we'll leave it at that. But I know this is that the day of today is people can come. And just come. You don't have to be anything or do anything, just come with a need. If you need a Savior, then come and give your heart to Jesus. And I know that everybody here and everybody beyond here needs a Savior. We need a Savior. And this one is offering, there he is hanging on a cross. Oh, my goodness. He's coming towards me and he wants to save me. My parents, when they finally said, what's going on with you guys? We looked at one another. We didn't know how to say it, right? It was just, nothing sounds weirder than someone who could say that you're giving your heart to Christ and you're born again. What world? So we said, well, we were all excited, more than they were. And they said, what are you doing? What is happening? And they said, we said, well, we got saved. I might as well have said we chartered a bus to Chicago or something. It wouldn't have been any more strange. It would not have been any more stranger. My mother, I said, Mom, you need to come. You need a Savior. She said, I don't need a Savior. I'm an Anglican. And that was better than being a Christian. But to say that to your parents, you need a Savior, Mom, Dad. You need a Savior. And that's what we gave our hearts to. We were all so eager and our Bibles under our arm. I'd probably recommend a little different for some. But it was something happened in our hearts. that's extended to this very day. Talk about something lasting good, lasting well. Eh? It's got a great length to it. And never for one moment have I regretted that day, bowing my head and saying, I'm forgiven. I am saved. I'm saved. Boy, that's great. It'll never be taken. It's forever. Forever and forever and forever and forever. And it just carries on and carries on. Mike and Ramona, do you remember when you gave your hearts to the Lord? And I remember I stumbled into your house. And I wasn't really invited, but we were having a picnic or something outside. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, that's what it was. You need a Savior. Nothing spinning on and on and on and on and on. And so here we are. Hello, my name is Owen. I am forgiven. I'm forgiven. End of the story. You don't have to do anything else. You just need a relationship with Christ. And maybe you already have. Maybe I'm speaking to the choir. But I just, it's, to me, it's so urgent. So urgent. The Lord's going to close that door. I wasn't planning on talking on this, but it's just the truth. It's not forever. It's for now. Today is the day of salvation. There's probably a song about that, isn't there? It's just a preparation. And it's a wonderful thing to have the assurance of salvation, doesn't it? The assurance of salvation. People come up many times over the years, hundreds of times, I suppose. And they come and say, can we help you? Can we pray for you? And they say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Oh, well, there we are. This is an easy one. You're not sure you're saved, okay? Did you ever pray to accept Jesus to come into your heart? No. I go to church? No, that's not the same. And the joy of being able to say, let me pray with you so that you have the assurance of salvation. Not maybe, should, might, could, thought we would feel that we'd do that. No, it's that you know for sure, absolutely, 100% total, and you have no doubts about it, that you are born again and filled with the Spirit. That's what you need. So you don't have stumbling over, I did a bad thing. I guess that cancels out, and there's my salvation gone. No. But you need assurance of salvation. You need assurance that you are forgiven. And the one who saves us is the same one who will be glad to give you the assurance of salvation. It's just so beautiful, so wonderful. So here we are. And all I would say is, if there's anybody here, I don't know everybody here, but if there's anybody here that you're sitting on the edge of salvation, that if you would simply believe and trust, the Savior will swoop down into your life. I can guarantee you he will come. And maybe you've been saying, I've been waiting to do that. I've been so long, for a long, long time, I was planning. I felt it never seemed to be the right time. No, I get that. And that's why I'm talking about the demon screaming, because they don't want you to make a choice like that. But we have to make a choice. It's the one thing that we do. He that believes on me has eternal life. He that believes on me. Not those who go to church on me, those that believe on me. And if you say, Lord, I believe, bam, you're in. Welcome to the family of God. Say, oh no, there has to be more than this. There must be some way of, I'm not, maybe got it all clear, maybe not, I don't know. It seems that there should be a bit more. Should I not do something? Should I put some money in the offering? Of course, yes to all those things. But not in the essence of it. Is that it's simply to believe and trust him, knowing that he will write your name, my name, in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why it just gets better. And anybody who says, I have to think about this, you're not thinking about it properly at all. Never, ever will you get an offer that says, you are now forgiven because you believed on Jesus. You'll never get an offer like that, ever. Oh, you know, well, I've been around a long time. I've been around, you know, hard to believe. I am 70 years of age. What? I know I look 40. But for all these years, I have found it gets better and sweeter. This is a sure deal. I beg of you, if you have not given your heart to the Lord, give it. Give your heart to the Lord. Because this is the essence of it. Trusting him with your salvation. Imagine, that's all required. And then you allow the Lord to work through you and in you, and the years will go by and it just gets better. So stand with me, please. Val said to me one time, not so long ago, like maybe last week, she said, you were rambling. Yeah, but the ramble's the best part. You ramble for days. Marcel, as the senior pastor, come. Just pray for us that if there is any, but we're, by the way, one thing it is not is manipulation. And you won't get manipulated. You just get an offer presented to you. And if it appeals to you, if it's got your name on it, boy, when he prays, offer your heart to the Lord. He can't do that. I can't do that. You can't. Luke can't do that. You have to do that. Isn't that interesting how that is, eh? You have to do that. All we can do is point you to the door. And then if you don't go in, we can't help. But we can help to offering the Lord salvation. So, amen. Anything you want to add to that, you can.
I want to pray for you, you know. And if you aren't a follower of Jesus, like Owen said, he invites you. And it's such a beautiful thing. In exchange, you get this. We bring our junk, and in exchange, we get eternal life and forgiveness.
Yes.
It's so
yes.
beautiful.
Yes.
It's like the best pawn shop you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, I think, too, as followers of Jesus, a lot of times the enemy will come and accuse us and say that you are not forgiven.
Yeah.
And he'll speak those words that are not true. And, you know, last week we talked about I am loved, and we're not loved because of who we are or what we've done. We're loved because of who Jesus is. Jesus is love. And today, you are not forgiven because you were good. You're forgiven because of Jesus,
yes.
because of the cross. That's why you're forgiven. And so as we walk today, I'm going to pray, too, for you as a follower of Jesus, if you're here today, that you'll walk in the freedom that brings you. Because it brings you freedom. The enemy would love to give you a baggage full of stuff as you leave. But you're free. You're free in Jesus. And so I want to pray for you today, too. If you are not a follower of Jesus, I just invite you to invite him into your life and to give him your life, to give him your sin in exchange for his forgiveness. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. And I'm just going to pray, you know, if you're not, I just and pray, you can pray this in your own heart. Lord, I come to you today. And I thank you for the cross. Lord, I acknowledge that it should have been me on the cross. But you went there for me. And Lord, I feel unworthy of that. And yet at the same time, Lord, you loved me and you went there for me. And I understand that as a result of today that I need to receive that. To receive the forgiveness that you offer. The new life that you offer. The sonship, the daughtership that you offer because of this. So, Lord, with all that I know and all that I am today, I receive that. And I thank you that as I do, you welcome me with open arms into the family of God. I'm now a child, the Most High King. And so, Lord, I thank you that the cross forgives my sin and washes me and makes me new and whole. Thank you for paying the price that I could never pay. Thank you for doing what I could never do. And I give you myself now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I come to you today, and I know Owen and myself and so many others here have followed Jesus for such a long time, followed you, Lord, for such a long time. And yet the enemy seems to not miss a beat sometimes, you know. Comes and tells us and accuses us. And there's so often we want to pick up that load of sin and carry it around with us. And it becomes heavy and wearisome and burdensome. Lord, I thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I thank you that in the name of Jesus we can come against the enemy and say, I am forgiven. Not because I'm so great, but because of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that even today would just be a fresh new day for all of us, where we would be able to say, I am free in Jesus' name. I am free. I have been forgiven. I am forgiven. It's part of who I am in Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Lord, we love you. Oh, man. The loving us, forgiving us. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Lord, we just tell you we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to do a couple of things. You know, we invite every week, if you're in need of prayer today, we'd love to pray with you. We have a prayer team that we invite you to come at this time. We invite you to come out for coffee in the beautiful sunshine and also to drop the connection cards in the box after you go today. So thanks for being here. God bless you.